If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Exodus, please. Exodus. I know the message this morning is not one that really causes you to want to shout. But I know this. It's one we need. Amen. It's one that that's not often preached because people sometimes would rather just hear people shouting than to give us the truth about life and life's lessons. But I want to give you something tonight the Lord spoke to my heart about, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Let's read tonight in chapter number 15 of the book of Exodus. I'll give you two or three little thoughts here. We'll have prayer and go to the house. I want you to listen to this now. Let me back up into chapter 14, verse number 29. The children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. How many of y'all believe that? Now, y'all know that that whenever God wants to, He can still do miracles. Amen. If God wanted to dry up the land, and He did, the sea, He did. The Bible said there was a wall. The waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Then the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. I don't know about you, but I like that. The liberals, they try to deny those miracles. But there are miracles nevertheless, and it happened just like God said it did. I wonder, in the hearts and lives of the children of Israel and even their leader Moses, backed up against that Red Sea, if the old devil didn't get a word or two in there, said, "See? Really done you a lot of good to serve God, didn't it?" Amen. But they were fixing to see. The Bible said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." The Bible said in verse number 1, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also were drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." I'll just say this tonight. ISIS will not have the last word. Amen. The Bible said here, verse number 7, "And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them." That's all about the enemy, and "I will, I will, I will." They got that from a good one, didn't they? The devil. Amen. He said He would exalt His throne above the throne of God. It was all about Him. Verse number 10, "Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. The Bible said, then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. All the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. I thought it necessary to read this chapter because I wanted you to see the setting for these verses we're about to read. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. That word means bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Can I just say this tonight? I want to get into this and preach in a minute. But is it not amazing? Is it not amazing that 3 days after that miracle, you would find God's people murmuring? Are any of you all ever ashamed of yourself? Amen. As good as God has been and as much as God has done to find ourselves. Listen, most of the time when we mature the least little bit as a Christian, the murmuring doesn't make it out of our mouth, but it's going on in our heart. We're complaining in our spirit. The Bible said here, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. He said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. You remember the plagues. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters. If correctly read, that's chapter 15 in the book of Exodus. Let's pray for a moment. Father, as I endeavor, Lord, to bring out a few truths from this passage of Scripture, I pray, God, you'd clothe us in our calling. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to know, Lord, from this passage, this example, this exhortation in the Bible, God, help us to know, Lord, how that we could, Lord, get deliverance, Lord, when we come to the bitter waters in life. Help us, our Father, Lord, to know and to do and to understand your perfect will. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to glean now tonight, and God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want us to look tonight. I didn't really title the message, but I believe that maybe a good title for the message would be The Lord Showed Him a Tree. The Lord showed him a tree. He showed Moses a tree. I want to look here at this experience that's going on at Marah. You can think about in your own Christian life. I believe when the Lord saves us, boy, He puts up a hedge around us. And we kind of walk, I didn't even know for 2 weeks after I saved, my feet was hitting the ground. I was so happy to be saved, amen, and knew my sins were gone. I knew my name was written in heaven. I knew God had something for me to do. Couldn't wait, amen, just to see what the Lord wanted me to do. And I tell you, about 2 weeks after that, there was an experience. I'm not going to go into it, but boy, it brought me back down to planet Earth. It let me know that I wasn't in heaven yet. It let me know there was still going to be some trials and there was still going to be some troubles along the way. And here are the children of Israel. They've crossed the Red Sea. And I want to look at this experience there. You know, they've come to Marah. I want to just give you three things tonight. Number one, the truth. Number two, the test. And number three, the triumph. And give them to you tonight as the Lord dealt with my heart in this passage of Scripture. Number one, the truth. First of all, when they came to Marah, they were coming out of a great victory. I'll say this tonight. It needs to be said again. I'm sure I've said it before. You've probably heard another man of God say it. But I tell you, one of the most dangerous times in the life of a Christian is after a great victory in their life. I'll tell you, listen, the devil does not want you and I to walk in victory. He doesn't want our families to have victory. I've just said and thought today about the great victory that God has brought in our home and in our family's life. It ain't no wonder, amen, the devil's trying to turn things upside down. Remember what I told you at the first of the year? God's a helping our church and blessing our church. And it ain't no wonder, amen, old Slewfoot's doing everything he can to discourage us, amen, and make us, my friend, despondent on God and defeated in what God's called us to do. But here in the Word of God, we see the truth concerning Marah. Let me give you several things here. They came to Marah. They came from a great victory. I just read to you how they crossed the Red Sea. I just read to you their 3 days of singing, 3 days of praising God. You know what I believe? I believe they were so busy praising the Lord, they didn't even realize they were thirsty. Amen. I tell you, God was, my friend, satisfying their lives, and they were worshiping and they were praising. And I believe they were talking to one another sometimes and say, boy, can you believe it? I thought we were done for back there. Amen. But did you see God move on our behalf? Did you see what God did to the enemy? We didn't stand a chance, but God, I believe they praised Him and honored Him those 3 days in such a way they didn't even realize that they were thirsty. Watch this now. Not only did they come from a great victory, I believe this is important. Talking about Marah now, bitter waters. Come to Marah from a great victory. Watch this now. They also came in the will of God. I tell you what, I'm sick of this stuff. It's being preached. Are you listening? It's being taught that if you're in the will of God, I tell you, there ain't going to be no bitter water where you live. That's a lie out of hell. Amen. I've done studied the Word of God. My friend Job was a man that walked upright, eschewed evil, loved God. And my friend honored God in his prayer life and in his family. And yet trouble came, the Word of God said. Well, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Here they are. They've come out of a great victory. But don't you ever forget they're walking lockstep in the will of God when they come to that bitter water. Amen. I tell you, oh, listen to me. I know, listen, I talk a lot about it because it's on my mind and on my heart. But the last time I watched Brother Fred come down from up there, oh, it blessed my heart just to think that a man could walk with God and be so faithful. Though his body didn't feel like it, he had a heart and a mind that said, I'm going to go on anyway and do what God wants me to do. Oh, beloved friend, you say, well, preacher, he's met some bitter water. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not God. And I'm going to tell you, this pastor believes with all of his heart that that man met that bitter water right smack dab in the middle of God's will, doing what God wanted him to do. He loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. So here, they had been used to drinking out of the Nile. They say that Nile's some of the sweetest water you'll ever drink. I was thinking about when I studied that. I was thinking about probably the sweetest. Y'all know what a gourd is? Some of you don't know what a gourd is, do you? Well, my grandmother, my grandfather had a spring above the house. Come right out of the side of a mountain. And you could go up there, buddy, when it was hot in the summertime. That's when we always visited. And they'd keep them gourds hanging there in that tree. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me you'd take something like that and drink out of it? If you get thirsty, my friend, you'll drink out of anything. Amen. I'd dip that thing down there in that spring. I'd probably dip it and pour one out, and then I'd dip it and go at it. Say amen. Sweetest water ever put in my mouth. And now they're down here, and the water's bitter. We're looking here at the truth concerning Myra. They're in the will of God. God only knows. God only knows what we'll face between here and heaven. God only knows. But there's some things that I'm really enjoying about this. We won't have to face it alone. The Bible said the Lord showed him a tree. Amen. The Lord showed him a tree. We notice here that, first of all, they were coming to Myra from a great victory. Then they were coming in the will of God, in God's will. But then let me give you this. They were in a great wilderness. How many of y'all been on this journey for a while? Long enough to know that the longer you're on this journey, the more this world seems like a wilderness. And we're strangers and pilgrims. I'm telling you, my friend, they're calling evil good. And they're calling good evil. We were talking yesterday about some of the young people when they go off to college. I tell you, if they're not grounded and rooted and grounded, I'm telling you, they're going to try to knock every sap of faith that's in them out of them. But glory to God, if the Savior lives down in there, He can see them through that mess. And help them to see through it. Oh, beloved friend, it's a great wilderness that we live in. I thank the Lord tonight that we're not in this wilderness alone. The Bible talked about in Hebrews 11, those that live by faith, they declare plainly that they're pilgrims and they're strangers here on the earth. Brother Jimmy, your mama getting a longing for home. Amen. Getting tired of this mess. Amen. I thank God for the saints of God. Most of us have got more invested on the other side than we do on this side. And it ain't going to be long. Amen. To he that shall come and will not tarry. I look here for just a minute at the truth. Let me look here for just a minute at the test. You say, preacher, did God love them? How many say amen? You better believe God loved them. But you know what the devil will tell you the first time you're tested? He'll say, God don't love you. If God loved you, you wouldn't be going through this. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm glad Job didn't believe that mess. Even when his wife said, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? I believe there could have been some compassion in what she was saying. She saw the mess he was in. I'm telling you, you don't want to see your loved one suffer. And we can get in such a shape, my friend, that we would want our loved one to go on home and be with the Lord. But watch this. Job said, the Lord gives. And the Lord takes away. Blessed be. By the way, I'm going to tell you something right now. Job, I believe when he said that, Brother Lowell, he had absolutely no assurance that he'd ever get all that back. It wasn't about getting it back in chapter 42. It was just about walking with God in the bitter water right now. Amen. And understanding that this is a test. I tell you, I used to come on the radio, that beep, 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 beep. This is a test. It's only a test. Had this been an actual emergency. Oh, if God's people could understand when we come to the bitter water. It's a test. It's a test. It's not to destroy us. It's to develop us as the children of God. Most of us, we would still be little bitty babies in Jesus if it wasn't for the test. The test comes along to help us to grow up in Him. Abraham passed the test. He said, take your son. Take your only son, Isaac. Told him where to go. Abraham, I don't believe he looked forward to that at all. But I believe with all of my heart that God, even in the bitter water, there on that mountain, had a way to make it sweet all along. Amen. There's a test. There's a test. A few weeks back, I believe with all of my heart that God saved my daughter. The change, I have to use this word, can't think of a better word to use, is unbelievable to the human mind. Amen. To the human way. Thank God He changes us. Amen. I think I remember when He made a difference in your life. He changed your taste buds. He changed your appetites. He changed the people you wanted to be around. Amen. He changed your direction. He changed your eternity. He changed everything about you. It wasn't long. I mean, not long at all. Days. She began to face trial after trial after trial. I'm glad that I didn't have to look at my daughter and say, honey, I don't have no idea what's going on. Looks to me like since you got saved, everything would be all right. No, I didn't tell her nothing like that. I'm glad the Lord's brought me down the road long enough, far enough till I could say, honey, you're being tested. Hang in there, baby. Don't give up. Keep looking to the Lord. Keep on praying. God will see you through. He didn't bring you this far to leave you by yourself now. He'll go with you all the way. It's a test. It's a test. When we come to the bitter water. Brother Eddie, I've heard you testify about that cancer. I will tell you what, you didn't jump up the first day you heard and say, glory to God, I get to go through a test. No, no, no. That bitter water's bitter. But God is showing us a way here. Not only the truth concerning this Myra. By the way, how many rebel, boy, glory to God. How many remembers when Naomi and Elimelech went down into Moab? You remember that? They went to sojourn. They end up staying 10 years. And Naomi's husband died. Naomi's two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, died. And Elimelech died down there in Moab. And now she's going back. And she goes back to Bethlehem. And they said, is this not Naomi? And she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Myra. Why? Because in her heart and in her mind, it was a bitter experience, amen. But oh, glory to God, I'm about to get ahead of myself. The Lord was fixing to throw a tree into that thing, amen. And the Son of God is going to be in the genealogy of a little Moabitish woman called Ruth. What a blessing to see. When the Lord shows us a tree, the Bible said the Lord showed him a tree. We see here the truth concerning Myra. We see the test concerning Myra. But we see the triumph. I'm reminded of a verse of scripture over there in the book of Corinthians. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians. I'm not sure though. Where the apostle Paul said, "Thanks be to God, which always," that's a strong word, "always causes us to triumph." But then don't forget these words, "through our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul said, every time I come to a place in life and all I've got to drink is bitter water. Think about what Paul said. He said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." What Paul is telling us, my friend, is that every time he came, every time the water was bitter, there was a tree. When that tree from Calvary was thrown into that water, it helped it and it made it sweet. I was reminded, I told you a little bit about the experience with the dentist this week. I was reminded years ago, I was pastoring in Wise County, Virginia, when folks asked me where I went to school, and I don't know why anybody'd even ask me that, but I always tell them, Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia. Amen. I was up there and we had an Easter sunrise service and I preached. I taught Sunday school. I had the morning service. I preached that night in the evening service. And right after church that night, I'd been in the kids' candy, Brother Johnny. And now the kids' candy didn't cause that, but it sure did reveal it. Man, I got a toothache, and I couldn't sleep. I don't remember what I took, but I'm sure I took everything we had. My head felt like it was going to blow plumb off of my shoulders. I couldn't see anything but bitterness in what I was going through. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't lay down. There was no way to get any sleep whatsoever. The next day, I remember, I won't say who and where. I'm not out to lift up one business, put down, but there was a dentist in town or an office in town said, "We'll pull it for $17. I said, "Glory to God, I'm on my way." Amen. Got over here and they charged me $27 to x-ray it and tell me they couldn't pull it. Had to go see an oral surgeon. They got me an appointment, thank God, at 1 o'clock. And I was laying there. Brother Lance, a lot like the children of Israel, kind of murmuring, "Man, this is tough. Done been all night, all morning." And all of a sudden, Brother Randy, the Lord allowed me in my spirit to head up a hill called Calvary. I began to cry, Brother Wade. Tears run like a river. I said, "Oh God, if this hurts this bad, how must it have felt whenever one of your joints was out of place and every bone was exposed? How must it have felt when they have beaten you and crowned you and spit on you? How much pain, Lord, if this is one little old place in my body? How much pain?" You say, "Preacher, what happened?" I'll tell you, glory to God, what happened. That was bitter, laying right there in a chair waiting to see an oral surgeon, became sweet. In a moment of time. In a moment of time. I believe that when you see the triumph, how many knows, you understand and you know that God is God. He made all the water. And all he had to do was speak and make the water sweet. But he told his servant Moses, he showed him a tree. Here's what I want to say. Some people get knocked down and they just seemingly never get up. We do have some responsibility in this matter to look unto Jesus. We do have some responsibility in this matter. Like the Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory saving the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he was a very intelligent man, a very learned man, a very smart man. And he said, listen, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Doesn't matter what we're going through tonight. There's a tree. When it's cast into that picture, can make the bitter water. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Let me give you just how the Lord worked in my heart a little bit today. Okay. I get to thinking about my brother Fred. I can't help it, and I don't want to. But if it hadn't been for that tree, we would have never met. Who knows where Brother Fred would be had it not been for that tree? Who knows where this preacher would be had it not been for that tree or what we'd have been doing? We would have never met had it not been for that tree. And had we met, we could have never had sweet fellowship had it not been for that tree. Amen. He said, preacher, I don't know where you're coming from. I'm just telling you, my friend, listen, that look down at my brother in that bed and visit with him in that shape. It's been a bitter experience, but throw that tree in the mix and it'll make it sweet. That gets better because of that tree. I may breathe my last breath before Brother Fred breathes his last breath. But because of that tree, we're going to be together around the throne of God forever and forever and forever. And you can say whatever you want to, but that's pretty sweet right there. That's pretty sweet. God can take that tree, Brother Johnny, on a hill called Calvary. Jesus, our Lord, my Lord, suffered for me, carried the cross all the way, my sins to atone. Brother Fred's not really singing right now as far as on the outside. He may be singing on the inside. I don't know. But I guarantee you, he understands this truth. He's a winner. Either way, if our Lord comes and takes him on home, he's a winner. If our Lord leaves him, he's a winner. If he gets to crawl back up there again and lead the singing, he's a winner. And if he never opens his mouth and sings another song on this side, he's fixing to sing because of a tree that God has thrown into those bitter water. The Lord showed him a tree. How many of you all have felt like at some point in your life you were kind of in a helpless and a hopeless situation? How many's ever had God to show you the tree while you're in that situation? Some people have a gift. I believe it's a gift from God, and we all need it. Sister Jennifer, they don't just see people for what they are, but they have a gift to always be able to remember the tree that can make the difference. It can turn a life that's full of bitter water into a life that's sweet for the glory of God Almighty. I don't know what time it is, but I didn't preach long, did I? Amen. What are you looking at that watch for, brother? Just because I mentioned it, amen. Amen. He don't know either, he said. One fellow I used to preach to down at Liberty, he said, "Preacher, we wouldn't mind staying till 12:30 and quarter to one if you'd stop talking about food." It caused his stomach to growl. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight. When we come upon that bitter water, Brother Grizzle, I watched you when your dear friend went to glory. It hurt, didn't it? It hurts. But because of that tree, you wouldn't have had that dear friend had it not been for that tree. All them times of flying up yonder and all that fellowship, none of it would have been without that tree. And because of that tree, two friends will be together in glory here before long. Amen. Thank God for that tree. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here at Bible Way. God, I'm so glad tonight for the precious liberty that you've given us, Lord. Liberty, Lord, to stand one more time this side of heaven. Try to break bread, Lord, with your people. Lord, I don't know what people are going through tonight. But I do know this, Lord. Before the week's over, we don't even know what we'll be facing. God, help us to understand and to know we'll not be facing it alone.